The champagne corks are about to pop at win 13 for the year. Brant, the Kings will have one last charge down the court. Golding has it. That's where it will finish. Golding took a shot in any case, but it's another win to Melbourne. Is their season back on track? Well, maybe not their absolute best, but they are one of the heavyweights, there is no question. Melbourne win number 13 for the year. They're 13-7. They're fourth on the road.
A couple of very good back-to-back wins for Melbourne United. Need to get that one done last night. They're back up to second place, 13-7. Of course, right on the heels of the Wildcats, knocked them off Sunday night. What a night that was at High Sense Arena. We'll chat to Daniel Kickett very shortly, the skipper, who had a fine night last night. Nathan Strimple, of course, a big part of the Melbourne United setup. He is the voice around Melbourne town. Good to see you, mate.
Great to be in here, BP. And just as we're going forward, don't exclude me from that Ohio State conversation. I was at Ohio State during Beat Michigan Week several years ago. I've got my Ohio State hoodie. I feel like I'm just part of the action there. So
right.
Very happy with that one.
Very nice.
And as
work.
We're talking,
didn't know that was part of your journey.
No, as we're talking about best sporting moments of the year too, I think we forget some of the stuff that happened earlier in the year. And the NBL Championship decider was pretty impressive back in March when New Zealand won it on a buzzer beater at Kenya Beckway. Pretty impressive atmosphere, a nice way to finish off the year for the NBL for last season. But we're talking about this season now, aren't we?
Indeed. Big night last night. I watched a fair bit of this game. Of course, Sydney having moved venues out of the Sydney Entertainment Centre, played a couple of home games back-to-back and getting a decent amount of fans rocking up. But last night, Melbourne United just needed to get this one done, and they did in the end by 10.
Well, you always wanted to back up after a big win, aren't you? So knocking off the top team in front of a sold-out crowd Sunday night, you were there, BP, impressive atmosphere with the roof off. You want to back up and do well. And Sydney got Melbourne here in Melbourne a few weeks ago, so the storyline there was there was a bit of revenge and wanting to get that second win in a row. And they came out and got the job done in a pretty impressive fashion.
Despite the fact that Josh Childress is sort of back, I mean, he had, 27 last night. Yeah, they've missed him, the Sydney Kings. I'm sure Damien Cotter, who's not in the chair anymore, would have loved Josh right from the start of the season. So despite him having 27, a very good performance. We'll have a chat to Daniel Kickett. He couldn't miss last night in a few moments' time. But for Sydney, I mean, look, they've had a tough year, Nathan, but gee, just the last few weeks, knocked off Melbourne here a few weeks ago under Joe Connolly, who's just a different cat, that is for sure. Now, they've put in some pretty decent competitive performances against the top teams.
I think you mentioned Josh Childress being back. I think some people were saying that Joe Connolly hustled harder than Damian James, their import that came in for Josh Childress. But not many people argue that when fit, Josh Childress is the best player in the league. And so he's a big out for them, but he's one of many great storylines to that game last night. Josh and Hakeem Warwick, Melbourne's import, played together at the Phoenix Suns many years ago, between them almost 1,000 NBA games. And Josh, a big part of Hakeem, came out to Australia. He said, you know what, mate, it's pretty impressive out here. The lifestyle's good. Why don't you check it out? And Melbourne got in his ear, and Hakeem Warwick's been great for Melbourne this year. And the first time they played against each other was last night. Josh's injuries preventing it happening. So Hakeem taking it the bragging rights with the win, and Hakeem Warwick himself having a pretty impressive game. Hakeem going for 21 and 7 or 8 rebounds, I think it was. So a pretty impressive performance by him and them getting the victory. But Josh Childress was very impressive back out in court. But as you mentioned, Danny Cricket joining us shortly. The other battle, Tom Garlop absolutely killed Melbourne in his 200th game here recently. He came out really hot again last night, but him and Kicks went back and forth. Cricket had 20 at half time, 26 for the game. Garlop, pretty impressive, came out really hot in the first quarter as well. So that battle was just fascinating to
watch. Let's welcome in the captain of Melbourne United, Daniel Kickett. Daniel, welcome to the show. Last night, 10 from 10 from the field. You didn't miss from the three-point line. Good night personally, but more importantly for the team to get back-to-back wins, and especially on the back of that big win against Perth.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's a win we wanted to get. Road wins aren't easy to come by, and Sydney's, they're going to be a tough outfit, I think, for the rest of the year, going to cause some problems. So part of it is, fortunately, before they get clicking even more, we've fortunately played all four games against them this year in the regular season. So they're going to do some damage, and very happy to walk away with that one.
Kicks, Nathan Strimple here. Let's just focus on yourself just for a little bit. Shooting 100% from the three, from the field, from the free throw line last night. We just need to know, when you took the tape off after the game, did you knock that down in one shot in the bin in the change rooms as well?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I think I my boy Tommy Toddy Blanchfield picked him up for me and went and dropped him in the bin, so I'll claim an assist.
Just adding to the stats. Kicks, on that note, you had 20 at the half, shooting 100%. I think a few of us would like you to see you get a few more shots up. Did you have a word to some of the teammates for not getting you the ball more in the second half?
Nah, not at all. Honestly, I was knackered. And I remember just talking with Chris and we were joking around saying, mate, I'm knackered. I'm just going to take what's coming to me. I'm not going to try and force anything up. And, yeah, I think Chris took over in the third quarter a little bit, and a couple other guys, you know, were Hakeem and that down the stretch would make some big shots. So I was happy just to wait for him to come to me and take what was given.
Well, mate, a great team effort. One more just on yourself, and just wondering if this is a spur for your good form. Just recently showing a lot of Christmas spirit, like the great man Andrew Gaze, you choose your moments sparingly for when you throw it down, but a big dunk on former teammate Lucas Walker a few games ago, and generously a nice little Christmas present you shared via the world of social media, a few pics just to remind him of that moment. Wanting to know if he got back to you personally on that, because on the Dantan NBL podcast, they did note, and most of us know he hasn't actually liked it. A lot of people like that one on social media, but Lucas Walker himself not liking that one there. Is he good mate of yours? He mentioned you personally. He was happy with you sharing that picture?
Yeah, well, actually, I gave him a bit of a heads up. I texted him and said, mate, I'm about to send you your Christmas present online, so be ready. And but he's posted a couple. He posted one a couple of weeks ago when he got that reverse alley-oop dunk, and I was kind of in the frame, and he claimed that was on me. So he had one coming his way, and I've got to be careful, though, because he's got probably more opportunity to dunk and get one back on me than I do on him. So
absolutely. Yeah, I was talking to Daniel Kick at Melbourne United skipper, 190 last night, 26 points for Daniel. I just want to go back to Sunday night while we've got you, Daniel. I did go along the open-air game. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. 10,000, just great to watch a big crowd there. A game that went down to the wire. You took a great scalping in the Wildcats, and as I think Dean Demopoulos said after, you just had to really sort of roll the sleeves up and fight pretty hard and scrap and get past a pretty tough unit. Do you see that as a little turning point when the boys walk back into the dressing room, knowing that, you know, the last 6 to 8 games have been pretty tough after the great start? Did the boys take a lot out of that, knowing you'd knocked off a really good team and just the way you did it?
Yeah, I think we did. I think it was good to see a couple of guys really go off in that game against, you know, obviously a really good defensive team, and just to get that little bit of confidence back and that self-belief that, you know, we're a really good team and we can go and mix it up with the best in the league. So confidence-wise, it was great for us. Momentum-wise, I think it came at the right time for us. Obviously, now having this win in Sydney and heading back home next week, it's put us in a good position to really carry that momentum through the last third of the season.
And the big one in these last couple of wins last night against Sydney and Perth Kicks has been the shooting percentage, and we've seen the backcourt getting going with Chris Golding both games shooting the ball well, Steve Holt especially against Perth obviously shooting well, and some of the signs were there in the Adelaide game with yourself and Hakeem getting a lot more buckets inside. Is that the key to helping that outside shooting, is that inside-outside presence, or is there something else that spurred just turning that shooting percentage around?
No, definitely. I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think that was our strength at the start of the season, is we were very efficient, and it wasn't just one guy who was being efficient. It was 3 guys, 4 guys, 5 guys occasionally really contributing on the stat sheet and being efficient doing so. So I think that's been really good for us. I think in Adelaide, it kind of started. We were very happy with how we played in Adelaide. We didn't back down. We gave up, and we just kind of got outplayed down the stretch. But we kept that momentum flowing into the Perth game. And again, like you said, you know, guys had a good shooting game. And when you see the ball go in, all of a sudden the rim looks a whole lot bigger and everyone's confidence levels rise, because you know coming down the stretch, Chris Goulding's going to pull up and hit a 3, or Steve or Hakeem, or someone's going to make a big shot. And when it's falling, it kind of lets you relax a little bit. Your shoulders kind of relax and you're able to knock down your own shot. So I think that's going to be our strength down the stretch, is consistency and efficiency from across the board.
It's looking nice, Kicks, going into the new year. Might just touch on the venue last night, because it perhaps reflects a bit of Melbourne's journey. Sydney moving into a smaller venue and pretty packed out there. Just tell us a bit about the atmosphere last night, because that might be similar for yourself at United now, shifting for the next couple of games to the State Netball Hockey Centre, being a smaller venue. You guys are there on the 7th against Illawarra.
Yeah, well, other than it being the hardest floor in Australia, the actual facility, I think, is a lot better than where they were. The crowd seemed a little bit louder. The atmosphere, I felt, was really good. And it's actually a pretty good gym. It's a nice gym to play in, other than the floor. But it looks good. It feels good. And I think it was almost a sellout again last night, I think. And it feels pretty packed, and they feel right on top of you, as opposed to where they were used to playing at the entertainment centre or whatever it was in the city. It felt a little bit more sparse, I guess. It was just a little bit quieter, a little bit more removed from the fans.
Yep.
So I think it's a pretty good facility.
One last one from me, Daniel. I looked down this table. You played the Kings last night, 4-15, but, you know, far from being a real battling cellar dweller team. I mean, Townsville, we were talking to the guys at the Townsville Bulletin the other day, they're still thinking about finals. Cairns, always dangerous. Adelaide, who beat you last week. Illawarra on a great run at the moment. The Breakers and Perth, we know, are always going to be strong. You're clearly physically prepared. You're obviously fine-tuning your game, but how much of this is a mental battle to come in the right frame of mind, knowing that every time you step out, there is just no let up in any game you play? Just get yourself in that frame of mind, regardless of who you're playing. Just, we've got to go the whole journey here if we're going to win, you know, the majority of our matches from this point on.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the thing we had to get through when we went through that little bit of stretch there where we were dropping a lot of games is, you know, we're watching our 3-4 game buffer on the league for a little while there and watching that dwindle away, knowing what was coming, you know, this last third of the season. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be every game is going to matter because, like you said, almost everyone's vying for a playoff spot, and it's potentially possible that you know seven teams can make it to the playoffs. And you have to approach every game like that. And it is a big effort to make sure that you're dialed in every single game. We've got the luxury now a little bit of time in between games. Yeah, you know, we had 3 games within this last week, and
yep.
Now we've got 8 days. We're now 7 days until our next game against Illawarra. So we need to take that time to kind of just focus in and make sure we're physically ready to go, but mentally ready to go, and understand what this next third of the season is going to entail, and it's going to require us to be on the road a lot. And we have to make sure that we're getting up for those games because, you know, every single one of them is going to matter. And we don't want to just make the playoffs. We want to put ourselves in the best possible situation
yep.
to be successful in the playoffs. So, obviously, we want to finish on top of the ladder or in a position that we feel is going to be favourable to us down the stretch.
Well, equal top as far as the win column with the Perth Wildcats. You're right in the mix. It's good to watch. The NBL is back in a big way. It was great to get along last Sunday night. Rest up a little bit over New Year. We look forward to that next encounter against the Hawks, who are on fire at the moment. That's a great contest and look forward to it.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Happy New Year. Have a great one.
Daniel Kicker.
Thanks, Kicks.
Always good to have him on. The Melbourne United captain, as you said, Nathan, he was on fire last night. Just some of those nights when everything just goes perfectly for you as a shooter.
He's great to watch as a stretch four, and like no one else in the league, I'd say, better than anyone else in the league, he's able to have that game where he can go inside or outside equally as effectively, and he's beautiful to watch when he's on song.
A couple of games tonight, New Year's Eve. We'll have a chat about those after the break. Townsville hosting Illawarra. Cairns up against New Zealand. The WNBL, of course, resuming back this weekend. We'll have a chat about that as well. It's 11 to 10.
When they turn for home, Snow Sky has now gone to Excess Knowledge, who's fighting on. Criterion got flattened. Al Ivanhoe getting up on the inside. His trip to Paris coming down the outside. Well back, Fame Game. He can't win from there. It's Excess Knowledge. Criterion getting out, and Prince of Penzance coming at them as they race with 150 metres to go. And Prince of Penzance has now hit the front. Prince of Penzance in front. It's a boy over Prince of Penzance. Michelle Payne has won the cup. Getting up to run second, Max Dynamite. Criterion third.
Darren Weir's given me a go when it's such a chauvinistic sport. I know some of the owners were keen to kick me off, Prince, and John Richards and Darren stuck really solid with me. I just want to say to everyone else can get stuffed because they think women aren't strong enough, but we just beat the world.
We'll go and get stuffed. Michelle Payne, one of the great sporting moments, no doubt. That's resonated with a lot of our listeners throughout the week. Keep your calls coming for the remainder of the morning as we look back at the great sporting moments. But I think everyone certainly enjoyed that day. A female saluting for the first time as a jockey. Pirates of Penzance, the outside of the country trainer. All the internationals sat back and just thought, how on earth did this horse beat our more fancied horses? A great moment in 2015. Nathan Strimple is here in the studio. We just caught up with Daniel Kiggett, the captain of Melbourne United, 100-90 over the Kings last night. A couple of big games, Nathan, coming up tonight. Of course, in the NBL, we've got Townsville up against Illawarra. And the Crocs, as I mentioned, are still not dismissing maybe playing in the playoffs. And you think about their year and some of the scalps that they've taken in adverse circumstances and with what's gone on, a couple of their come-from-behind wins. I mean, you just couldn't discount this team. They've got enormous spirit up there in far north Queensland.
Yeah, definitely not a star-stud lineup and a low-budget team. But they're working really hard for Coach Sean Dennis. And you'd have to like them tonight. That being said, the Illawarra Hawks have been in great form.
Fine.
But that New Year's Eve atmosphere is a bit different. They're pro athletes, but I'm sure there's just that feeling on New Year's Eve. It's just a day. It's a bit like Christmas Day or playing over Easter. You're just used to that day representing someone else, and you're thinking about what's happening afterwards.
Mm.
So Townsville are at home. They play New Year's games every year, and they're really gelling well as a team. That'll be a great game to watch if you don't have a big New Year set up. Get your TV on and check that out, because Illawarra as well are great to watch at the moment. Just so much offensive weaponry.
A little bit further north, the Taipans, who just haven't quite got going. That you think they're going to get going. A very good coach in Aaron Fern. I always love listening to his timeouts. But they're 6-10, so they've got to win this at home. But gee, a tough assignment against the Breakers, who, well, whether you're home or abroad over the last 4 or 5 years, one of the best team, certainly the most best performed team in the NBL.
Yes, they're such a well-drilled unit. 4 out of the last 5 championships. But Cairns, I really like last year's grand finalists. And they got better. They brought in Mark Worthington, who's a 2-time Olympian, a great player. He was one Melbourne United's MVP last year. So injuries and some disruptions to their group, and they've got one tonight as well with the import Markel Starks out injured, which doesn't help them, but this weekend is the season for them. They've got New Zealand, then they've got another game later in the round. They need to win at least one, but they'd really be looking to get 2 to get a jump back, because unless Townsville and Adelaide are a little bit closer, but unless they string together a few wins now, that top four is looking pretty set. Illawarra playing so well in fourth, Melbourne back up to equal first last night, New Zealand and Perth perennially just well drilled, the core together there from several championship runs for both of those teams. So those teams outside the four really need to get a run on now, otherwise time's going to run out on them.
No doubt. The WNBL back this week after a break over Christmas, and in fact a New Year's Eve game tonight. Good game too. The Lynx, who are sitting on top. I still look at that WNBL table and go, wow, the Perth Lynx on top. It's just fantastic for women's basketball. The Townsville Fire, who won the championship last year. So first versus third. This is a good clash.
Oh, really good. And that'll be a huge show over in Perth. Lockie Reed MCs for the Lynx over in Perth. I actually had a chat with Nick Marvin. He was over here for the Perth Wildcats Melbourne United game on Sunday, and Nick was talking about the Lynx and how much they're putting into really trying to create a show there.
Yep.
And that'll be a big night, a big event for people in Perth to get out and get along and support the Lynx there. So that'll be a huge atmosphere and a huge crowd. But Townsville have got a few players that don't mind the big stage. Kayla Francis, Susie Bakovic, light playing on a big stage over there. So that'll be a heck of a game to watch and a really hard one to call.
Gee, we talk about great sporting moments of 2015. If the Perth Lynx won the WNBL title, that'd be one of the greatest recoveries for a team that has been in the doldrums for over a decade.
That'll be absolutely huge. And I was actually even thinking before about when we're talking 2015, the Townsville Fire won the WNBL championship earlier in the year. This is little old Townsville, a little regional town winning a national championship.
Yep.
And the storyline behind the teams winning there, Chris Lucas getting the head coaching job in Adelaide and then getting under controversial circumstances, moved on.
Yep.
Coaching the team in Townsville, his family still based in Adelaide, and being right on the doorstep for a couple of years, then breaking through. The Townsville Fire winning that WNBL championship was a great story, and Perth would be equally good if they get there.
Gee, good year for Townsville sport, really. The Fire winning, the Cowboys winning, and look, I've been to Townsville many times. It is a great sporting town. The Crocs obviously not having quite the success they'd like at the moment, but they love their sport in that part of the world. When it gets nice and hot and humid, no better place to be inside a basketball stadium when you're up north. And the Fire, when they won that day, it was one of the best atmospheres. It came through, of course, on the ABC. when they last called, of course, the WNBL, and I think they had, what, 2,000 or 3,000 there. It just went off.
Oh, the atmosphere is great. No better place to be unless it's so hot that the aircon's not working and the court starts sweating, which I actually had at a basketball tournament in Townsville once. When the court sweats, it's pretty slippery and it's kind of hard to stop during monsoonal rains. But Townsville's a great sporting town. They love it. But the WNBL and the NBL wide open at the moment. Mm. A lot of water to go under the bridges, they say, to work out who's going to win those two seasons.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nathan.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Really
BP.
Enjoyed it, mate. We'll see you courtside, of course, at the Melbourne United Games. Some big games coming up in the new year.
January 7.
They can turn it on. Of course, back at the cage. Get your tickets. Thank you, Nathan.